Sure is good to see all of you here this morning. God has blessed us with another gorgeous day. We're thankful for this day, especially that it is the Lord's Day where we can come and worship God and enjoy fellowship here together. I want to invite you to stay with us after services if you are part of our Vacation Bible School. We're going to have a short meeting where we can sort of address any questions or finalize things for our VBS. It's especially geared toward the teachers, but anyone can come and be a part of that meeting. We'll meet right in the chapel afterwards. And also, in addition to that, if you would, parents, please help us out this morning. If you have your children up through the grades of sixth grade that will be coming to VBS, we want to go ahead and pre-register our own children here. And there's going to be a table set up right in the, what do you call that place? The welcome area out there. And where you can register your child, bring your child, and we'll make sure we get them all registered so we have our kids set up ahead of time. If you'd like to follow along with the lesson this morning, we're going to be, we're going to be looking at several passages this morning, but there is an outline in your bulletin where you can follow along and look at the verses together and follow the thought that we will be presenting this morning. Well, there's an old song that says, "Heaven is a beautiful place." Is that true or what? Got one, absolutely. Heaven is a beautiful place. Remember that song? Yeah, that's a great song. Well, I want to talk about that this morning. A little bit about heaven, but a little bit about where your treasure is. That's my question this morning. Where is your treasure? The story is told of a very, very wealthy man who died and went to heaven. And when he got there, he arrived at the pearly gates. He met the angel, as it were, there at the gates. The angel was there to escort him to the place where he would live for eternity. And as they walked along, the man was overwhelmed by the unimaginable beauty that he saw. The sparkling golden streets. Everywhere as they walked down those streets, everything glittered. He looked around, saw the beautiful, amazingly plush palaces and mansions, as we sang in the song, "A Mansion Over the Hilltop." We just sang that song. He saw all of this, took it all in. It was an amazing sight when he saw the incredible mansions that lined the streets of gold. He said in his own mind, "Surely one of these is mine." And yet they continued to walk along. Now remember, he was a wealthy man on earth. But the angel kept walking with him. And soon he noticed, as they continued to walk along, that the streets were no longer gold, but rather instead then transitioned into pavement. He looked around and he saw the houses were a little bit smaller, not so shiny, but still pretty good size places. Thinking to himself again, well, you know, maybe I didn't get the plush palaces and all that. Maybe this is where I'm going to live. Maybe in one of these very nice houses. And he looked around, said, "That's okay." But the angel kept walking and walking and walking. And finally they came to a dirt path. They stopped in front of an old, dilapidated shack. And the angel turned back to him as he looked at that shack. And the angel said to him, "Here's your home." He was quite shocked at the appearance of that old shack. The angel turned to leave and the very, very wealthy man said, whoa, wait a minute. Something must be wrong here. There must be a mistake. I mean, surely you got the wrong address. I mean, this is not the place that I thought that I would get. The angel quietly said to him, he said, "Sir, we did the best we could with what you sent ahead." Now I realize that story has some deep theological imperfections in it. I realize that we're not going to maybe have private mansions and yours is going to be better than mine and all that. I don't know about all of that. And, I understand from the biggest hole in that story is, I got to tell you this, there's going to be no disappointments in heaven. You'll be happy with what you get, I can guarantee it. But there's something I think to be said about sending something ahead. That was the angel's theme, basically, that man, this is what we did with what you sent ahead. I want to talk about what you're sending ahead today. I want to talk about and ask you the question today, where is your treasure? And as we consider this thought this morning, I want us to look at 3 points. I want to be asking these questions of you this morning. What are you seeing today, first of all, as your priority in life? Secondly, what are you sending ahead? And then thirdly, what are you setting your heart upon? Let's start, first of all, with this first question. What are you seeing as your priority in life? You know, priorities have to do, first of all, with perspective. That is, what do you see? What do you have your eyes on? What is it that you are setting your sights on? That's why, in fact, the very first commandment God gave us was what? Have no other gods before me. Are you setting your eyes on God through life? Or are you setting your sights on something else that's distracting you from seeing God in your life, and therefore you're putting other gods before Him? Keep your eyes on God throughout life. Make God in everything that you do about His kingdom. Make that your priority in life. Put nothing else in front of Him. You know, that's really what happened from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. You know, here's this beautiful garden. And God wanted Adam and Eve to love Him with all their heart, soul, and mind. And for a measure of time, I'm sure they did that. I don't know how long it took, but eventually they got distracted. Eventually they put something before God. They began to listen to something other than God. It happened to be a serpent who was telling them to do the very thing that God had said you can't do. And so when they put something else in their sights, they got distracted from God. They began to see and prioritize something else. And as you know, that became a very real issue for them. They lost sight of God. The Bible tells us, set your mind on things above. And I was noticing as we were taking the communion this morning, a passage was put up on the screen back here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Why should you fix your eyes on Jesus? Well, the verse goes on to say that He's the author and the finisher of our faith. That is, He has crossed the finish line. He is with God. He's sitting at the right hand of God. You want to set your treasures and your sights on something other than this world, make sure that nothing else gets in the way between you and God, that you then cannot see God and that you'll put other gods before Him. Priorities not only have to do with perspective, but priorities also have to do with your passion. Actually, before I do that, I want to read this verse here about your perspective, because I think it's, I didn't want to go over this and bypass this. But this passage here in the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, that Jesus spoke here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. He said, if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Now think about that. Your eye determines the overall health of the rest of your body. But is He talking about the physical eyes, or is He simply talking about what you set your sights on? Well, you know what He's getting at there. He's saying that eyeball, that eyesight, your perspective determines the rest of how your life is going to play out. He says if the eye is bad, I'm reading now from the verse, He says if the eye is bad, your whole body will be what? That's right. Think about that. No one wants to stay in darkness forever. We enjoy darkness when we're sleeping at night, but we want to wake up and see the sunlight. And He is saying here, when you have your eye healthy and looking at the right thing, focused on God, then you're going to be full of light. But the opposite is true. There's no middle ground in this. You're either full of light or full of darkness. He said, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, oh, He says, how great is that darkness. In other words, He says, that's not where you want to be. Full of darkness, apart from God. Now I want to talk about my second point here. So when we're talking about priorities, it has to do with perspective. Priorities have to also do with passion. That is, what you love. And of course, we know that Jesus said the greatest commandment is what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. In fact, the second is like it. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what life is about. It's about loving. If you want to set your treasure or set your heart on things above, if you want to have heaven as your treasure, then you need to make sure that you love the right things. And if you love God, then what are you going to do? Jesus said you're going to obey God. You're going to serve God. You're going to prioritize God in your life. You're going to love His Word. Hopefully you love the Bible. You love the Scriptures. You're going to love the very Word of God. You're going to love His commands. You're going to love the church. You're going to love God's people. And you're going to even love people who haven't given their lives to God. You're going to love all people. You're going to love. And so priorities also have to do with not only your perspective, but also has to do with your passion, what you love. Priorities also have to do with your preferences. That is, the choices that you make in life. Every day you're making choices about things, thinking about how you're going to prioritize things. And when we think about the idea of our choices, it's not just a choice that we think. We always just think the choices are about choosing between good and bad. But really a lot of life is what? Not choosing between good and bad, but choosing between good and better. See, making a priority with certain things. Not just between sin and obedience, but it is a choice between obedience and sanctification. Jesus said right here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, He said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. He says, you cannot serve God and riches. Yes, it's choosing between in life the secular and the spiritual. Now, it's not wrong to have riches as long as those riches don't have you. It's not wrong to have wealth and money and material things just as long as those things don't become the priority. If God is the priority, those usually are going to take a very distant second place. He says, you cannot love God and riches. You need to make a choice. You need to make a choice between good and better. Now, I'm going to tell you a very simple way that this can be illustrated in your life. I am so glad that all of you are here today worshiping God. You made a choice today. You could have stayed in bed, but you came here. This was your priority, seeking God's kingdom, giving God the worship that He deserves. That is obedience. You made an obedient decision because the Bible tells us that we're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, Hebrews 10:25. So you obeyed God by coming and not forsaking the assembly. You are worshiping God today. You made that your priority. That is obedience. But now let me tell you about sanctification. You obeyed God by coming here today. But guess what? Tonight, our worship service, if you're able to be here, that is from obedience this morning till tonight coming, that is sanctification. You see, that is setting your heart on God's kingdom. I'm not saying, I know that some of you might work tonight. You might have something that is getting in the way. That's not forsaking assembly when something prevents you from being here. But if you're able to be here, and I'm not saying you have to be here tonight. I'm simply saying you obeyed God by coming today. Now it's sanctification tonight. And then there's Wednesday night. And there are other opportunities to study God's Word and pray to God. You see, we're talking about priorities here. We're talking about making good choices in life. What are you seeing as your priority? Where is your treasure? That is my question today. The second question I want to ask you today is not only where are your priorities, what are you seeing as your priority, but I want to now ask, and now, yes, I'm going to, just like I did last Sunday, dip into your wallet just a little bit here, and that is, what are you sending ahead? You know, we think a lot of times when we consider our giving, we think about, as that collection plate goes around, we think about, you know, how much should I give to the Lord? I want to give God something that I think will be showing my love for him. And so we give a certain amount. I want you to reverse that a little bit in your mind. Don't think about giving. Think about instead, what am I keeping? Oh, you see, that's the story of the, remember, we all know it, right? The story of the woman with the two mites. It's not about what she gave, right? It's about what she kept. What did she keep? Big fat goose egg, according to the story. She gave everything. That means she had nothing left. She gave it all. Did you sing that song very seriously this morning? Thank you, Brother George, for leading that song. Take my life and let it be. Oh, my goodness. If you look at that song and you really consider the words of that song, you may not want to sing it next time. You emptied out everything and you gave it to God. Take my life. Take it all, God. And you gave it all to God in that song. Are you giving it all to God in your life? Yes, it's what are you sending ahead. Now in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, you remember what Jesus said? You probably memorized it, right? He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Boy, that's quite a contrast, isn't it? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't be busy laying up treasures here. Don't be a person who just collects the material things of this life and is not ready to send it on ahead. That's the story that I told you as we began this morning about this rich man. He didn't send it on ahead. Now, as we continue in another passage, same passage in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, this is over in Matthew chapter 19. We have the story of the rich ruler that came to Jesus. And Jesus said to this rich ruler when he said, well, you know what? I've given everything from my youth. And Jesus said, listen, if you want to be perfect, he said, go and sell what you have and give to the poor and you'll have treasure where? Give to the poor, and this is how you're going to have treasure in heaven. Give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And Jesus said, come and follow me. But it says, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why does it say in that verse? Look at it carefully. Why did he go away sorrowful? It says he had many or great possessions. What we're seeing there, it's not a matter of that he couldn't give enough. It's that he just kept some back. He had great possessions. He didn't want to give all. He didn't want to take my life and let it be. He wasn't willing to take that step. And so, again, it has to do, when we're talking about sending on ahead, it's not just about what you give, it's also about what you keep. In Luke chapter 12, the story of the rich fool. It says in Luke chapter 12, beginning verse 16, it says, the ground of a certain man, Jesus said, a certain rich man, yielded plentifully. Now here's a very wealthy man. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? And so he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater barns there. And there I will store my crops and my goods. And then I will say to my soul. Now see, thinking about all this wealth that he has, I'll sit back and I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Well, is that many years? Short years you have here on this earth, right? You have many goods laid up for many years, he says. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Small problem, Jesus says, but God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. It goes on and says, so Jesus said, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You have a barn in your life. You have other barns, things where you're laying up certain things in barns, but you have a barn in your life called God. What are you putting in that barn? What are you storing up so that you can send it on ahead? This man laid up treasure on earth, not treasure in heaven. He was not rich toward God. He was rich toward who? Toward himself. Do you notice he has a very Big personal pronoun problem there. I, me, my. Sounds like a little child, right? Well, all those things belong to him. He wasn't willing to give it up. He wasn't willing to let it go and send it on ahead. So again, it has to do with what you give as well as what you keep. And then secondly, has to do with your good works. When we talk about what you're sending on ahead, it has to do with your good works. I didn't have this verse on there. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you will. Thought I had that verse on there. Well, there it is. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I want to read more than just verse 17, so let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to this one here. Missed that slide. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll begin reading at verse 17. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Does God want you to enjoy your things? Yes, He does. He gives you all things richly to enjoy. Verse 18, let them, now this is the rich folks, that's you and I, because we're all rich. You don't know it yet, but you are. Let them do good that they may be rich. This is the problem with the rich ruler. They may be rich in what? Good works. Ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life, that they may lay up for themselves treasures in heaven. How did they do that? He said they were rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. They were dispersing the wealth that God had given them. They were sending it on ahead. Now I want to go to a passage over in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Oh, feel the sting of these words this morning. And I put this in a paraphrase so you'd get the strength of this. In James chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, you people are filthy rich, and you should be ashamed of yourselves. One day you'll be sorry when you see what your money has done to you. Your riches won't last, and they will be the kindling for the fire that will burn you up. The money that God gave you was completely misused. You ripped off others and always spent your money on yourself. You acted like a fat pig and didn't care about those who needed your help. You will be sorry one day. Ouch. And to me, this makes it hard for me to pass up that guy on the side of the road that's got the sign up asking for money or help. And I understand all the good stewardship thing. They want to give them money so they might go buy drugs with it and all that. I mean, we rationalize not helping people sometimes. But this is a rebuke to us here. I tell you what, I don't like being called a fat pig. But if you think I'm making this stuff up, look at the original version. It says that you have fattened yourself like a pig for the slaughter. This isn't some kind of over-dramatized paraphrase of the Bible here. It's what the Bible's saying there. You fattened yourself up for the slaughter. He says that that's what you do if you're like that rich fool who just said, I'll just sit back in life and I'll just enjoy life, eat, drink, and be merry. He said, you are that slaughtered, that pig ready for the slaughter. Well, I tell you, that's some pretty serious stuff right there. Has to do with good works as well, though. We need to have good works. We need to do for others. Doing good for others includes, by the way, leading them to Christ as well. Oh, that's how you can really lay up treasures. When God wants souls, and that's what you want to give Him, and you give to Him that what He wants, which is people who are going to heaven, I'll tell you what, you're laying up treasure in heaven. That's what God wants us to do. You know, there are things in this life that only you can do in the life of somebody else in terms of making their heaven different. In terms of you helping others in such a way that you're storing up for yourselves treasure in heaven. You know, God gave you a fingerprint that is only yours, so you can use it to make an imprint that no one else can in life. And people are waiting for you to step in and care and show them the love of God and show them salvation through Jesus Christ. And it comes through us caring enough to help others, doing good, willing to share, ready to help others with whatever God has blessed us with. Well, it turns out I did have those verses that I thought I didn't have. So there they are on the screen. But the question I have for you is, are you sending it on ahead? You know, we need to see the things that are priorities in our life, and we also need to send it on ahead. Now, my third question this morning, final question this morning is, what are you setting your heart on? Jesus said, there's just a great depth in these short words in Matthew 6:21. He said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." See, it's not about what's in your wallet. It's about that thing right now that's pumping in your chest called the heart. It's about, are you willing to give God your heart? In Matthew 6:33, we know the verse. Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We need to seek God's kingdom first. And we seek God's kingdom. See, where is your kingdom? Where is your heart? Is your heart in God's kingdom or in your kingdom? There's things that we have to do in this life to take care of things, to take care of our families, things that we have to do that connect us with this world. But we need to make sure that we don't love this world more than we love God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 31, he said, "Those in frequent contact with the things of this world should make good use of them without becoming attached to them, for this world and all that contains is passing away." Let me tell you something. You're going to carry some baggage in this life. Can I just give you some good travel advice? Travel lightly. Don't store up things here on earth. Instead, send it on ahead. What are you setting your heart on? Well, I want us now to go over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we'll read several verses here. Chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning of verse 1 says, "If then you are raised with Christ," are you raised with Christ? Anybody in here raised with Christ this morning? That's me. "If you were raised with Christ," if that's you, "seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting." Where is He sitting? At the right hand of God, right? "Set your mind," He says, "on things above, not on things of the earth." He goes on later in verse 5 to say, "Put to death your members which are here on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." He says, "But now you must put off all these things." In verse 8, he says, "Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language." Those are the things going on here on earth. He says, put those things to death. And then later on in verse 12, he gives us the other side of it. He says, therefore, in chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "As the elect of God," that's us right there, those that are seeking God's kingdom first, right? "As the elect of God," he says, "holy and beloved." Here's what you need to do. He says, "Put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving." Well, that's the hard one, right? "Forgiving one another. But above all these things," here you go, right? Put on what? That's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And if you love others, you're going to show tender mercies to them. You're going to be kind. You're going to be humble. You're going to be meek. You're going to suffer along with them and be patient with them and bear with them and even, yes, forgive them. These are kingdom principles. You want to set your treasure above? You want to set your mind on things above? Where is your treasure? Well, this is how you conduct your life. How are you acting toward other people as you show the love of God and forgive them? And now as we go on over into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's also some kingdom pleasures that we need to keep in mind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction," that's right, "which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." That's what we're after. All this stuff here is going to fade away. It's all going to be burned up on this globe here one day when this earth, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, is annihilated, consumed, completely burned up. Oh, you can't take this stuff with you, but you can take your character, your kindness, your love, your forgiveness, your tender mercies, how you reach out to others, how you share with them your material things. That's what we need to set our heart on. As we close this morning, let me ask this question this morning again. Where is your treasure? I got to tell you this. I want to get to heaven. That's my goal in life. Anything else is secondary, far second to that. I want to get to heaven. And it's a matter of where am I laying up my treasure? It's a matter of my priorities, my life, my giving, my serving, my use of God's money that He gives me. But ultimately, it's about my heart. Have you given your heart to the Lord? This morning, if you've not done that in the way of your salvation, Jesus gave it all for you. He gave you His heart and everything in it as He hung upon the cross and died for you. Have you given your life to that wonderful Savior today, that wonderful, merciful Savior we sung about this morning, who gave His life for you? If you believe in Him today, repent of your sins. Be baptized today to have those sins washed away so you can become a child of God and you can make sure that heaven is your home. And if you're here this morning as a child of God and you've walked away from the Lord and you need to come back today and again set your mind on things above and you need to repent and ask for our prayers to do that, if you're in any way subject to the gospel call, would you come together now as we stand and sing?